Welcome back to Asian Pop Nation. My name is Lee and I'm joined by Alicia. And the next artist joining us on Asian Pop Nation is 21-year-old from Western Sydney. She started her music career on SoundCloud when she was only 13, which is crazy. But since then, she's released two amazing EPs, Growing Pains from 2021 and Dating Pool, which was released last year, which we actually featured on the show as well. So she's also opened for Grant Perez, who we love and adore here on APN, and we interviewed him in 2022. But without further ado, we've got Tiffy in the house.
Hello.
Yo. Thanks for coming on the show, Tiffy.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, you covered it really good though. Yes, I'm 21. I am half Taiwanese and half Chinese. I'm a political conflict baby.
Oh.
I was born and raised in Western Sydney. I started out my music journey kind of making bedroom pop, like on SoundCloud and stuff. It took off. But recently I've been leaning more into like a rock and pop sound.
So your new single, Cold Medicine, came out at the time of recording yesterday.
Yeah, literally last night.
I
Literally,
know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what does that feel like for that song to finally be out and released into the world?
Really exciting, but also like really scary because I love it and I worked so hard on it and everyone worked really hard on it and like I just hope that I don't know, like it does well. It's so scary. I don't know. But I really love that song. I made it with Matt Mason from DMAs and Konstantin Kersting, like Australian idols, you know what I mean? So, and I think the song sounds like super Aussie. Like it's like as Aussie as I'm gonna get. And I love it. So I hope that Australia loves it too. Please, please be on my side, guys.
Me and Alicia love the song. Oh my God, literally.
Oh yeah, no, when it literally came out like a few minutes into this interview, I'm like just listening to it in the background and I'm like, yes, she's tapping into this. I love it. Like literally, I think you've excelled in that, what you literally mentioned before of jumping from bedroom pop now, like tapping into sub-genres like in the rock scene, because I love the instrumentals, the guitars and stuff that's going on in this track. Sorry.
We just want to ask, like, before this release, like, what sort of things do you have to prep before the release? Like, has the last week sort of been really busy for you?
Actually, my team is really good about like having everything done in advance, like a month at least in advance, because I'm a little disorganized, y'all. Like I need help, you know. Yeah, so they had all like the visual assets, the music video, all of that stuff done. All I needed to do was like sit back and like, you know, I just had to like listen to the premieres on the radio and like post stuff on my Instagram, and that's light work. So yeah.
No, that's good. That's really chill, like release, no stress involved. Well, for your last single, Chemtrails, it was written on your first trip to Melbourne, where you came down with a cold. So I guess we assume like Cold Medicine is also from that same trip. Like, so can you tell us like how the songs came together or how they're related?
Yeah, so I actually wrote Cold Medicine first, and I wrote it in Sydney. I did a session with Matt Mason, and at first I didn't really like the song. Actually, like I sent it to my managers, and they were like, "This is so good, like this is amazing." And I was like, "Yeah, I can do it better. I don't know." But then, like once I saw the vision, I was like, "Actually, no, I really love this song." Because at first, like the demo that we made for it, obviously sounded really different. Like it was a really quick session. Yeah, I just had to like kind of imagine up what it would sound like in the end. I wrote that during like a flu season, but I'm always sick. Like my fans know I am always sick, and like after every show I get sick just because like
No.
exerting that energy, just like I just cannot take it. Like my body can't take it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Melbourne, and like in the demo version of Chemtrails, like my nose is so blocked. I literally cannot even breathe out of my nose. Like it was horrible, and my voice was all like raspy and terrible. But yeah, it's fun. So the whole like the through line kind of throughout these two songs and like songs that will come later, it's just kind of about like I had like a really tumultuous year in like 2022, 2023-ish, and it was about like sickness and health, and it's about like rot and kind of how like the things that you run from are kind of like the things that are comforting to you. Like I took a lot of solace in like feeling sad because I'm like really used to the emotion, and like feeling happy, even though that's what I wanted, I was actually, I'm really afraid of, because I just am not used to it and I don't know how to like handle it. So I'd rather like sit in like a bad place kind of thing. And I was like reflecting on that part of myself. And kind of like the message is kind of being like, it's okay that like we don't really know the solutions to all of these things. Like it's just important to talk about it and to share it with people. Plus, I just think the songs are fun. At the end of the day, it's just fun music to listen to.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'll definitely keep that in mind when I'm listening to the song again. Actually, the music video we also watched as well last night. Like the music video is so aesthetically pleasing, but also like it's kind of a little bit creepy. Like it's great. Like it's got, I guess, like I got like a dark Alice in Wonderland sort of vibe, but we actually are so curious and have to ask, who is behind the bunny mask?
It's really funny because when I was filming it, I actually started to get a bit like creeped out because like the bunny is like, so the bunny is like an actual Easter bunny outfit.
Yeah.
Like he has like a blue vest and he has a bow tie. He's meant to look cute, but like we didn't, you know, he's not wearing that because it's supposed to be like scary. Like it's supposed to be scary to a certain extent. Like it's a bit goofy and we know that. Like it's silly looking.
Yeah.
But I was starting to get a bit creeped out on set, especially at the end of Chemtrails when the bunny hugs me. Like during that scene, I was like, oh, I feel a bit like, ooh.
Oh,
like,
no! Oh.
But actually behind the mask is the cutest person ever. It's my friend Linchi. They are my graphic designer. Cutest little Vietnamese person with blue hair. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. But oh my gosh, in the actual, when they were wearing the mask, I was like, I cannot take it. Like, I feel like I'm afraid. But there's a really funny video on my Instagram highlights of Linchi in the bunny suit. And they're like dancing, but Linchi's really good at dancing. So like, and they're dancing to like a hip hop song. It's just so funny. It's just like, it's kind of goofy. Like I realized that the bunny is so goofy looking.
Just the Easter bunny breaking it down. So.
True.
Nah, that's so cute.
No, that's so real. I'm like, it just reminds me to my own situation of like, if somebody, even if it's like a friend I love, like Dear Lee or something, and she rocks up in front of me while recording with like a clown costume, it will be over on that day.
No,
I might like,
oh my
I
God.
Might freak out on the spot.
Okay, so now like we are a Melbourne-based show. So of course we have to know like, what were your first impressions of the city during your visit here? Or is there anything like that really stands out as really different to Sydney?
Well, you know the discourse between Sydney signers and Melbourne.
Yeah.
There is much discourse. I'm just like, guys. Well, I do love Melbourne. Like I like going there. I don't think I would ever live there because like, you know, Sydney is my home and I think there's nowhere in the entire world like Western Sydney. Like it is just like a completely different culture. Melbourne is like a lot of cafes.
Oh yeah,
a lot of murals. I don't know, like y'all are fussy and stuff like that. You know, Sydney's more of like a business city, but it's cool. But I think that I'm kind of scared. Like, don't you feel like when the fashion girlies and the fashion boys are out on the streets, like you feel judged? It's just like I don't want to.
Oh, yes! Real.
You know, like everyone's so cool. Like I feel like I can't just be regular.
Yeah, like if I'm in my I don't care outfit and I'm like, guys, stop looking at me.
I'm like everyone's wearing like $500 shoes. I'm like, I can't take
it.
Well, how do you guys feel about Melbourne? Do you think that it's a bit uppity, or do you think that it's like really? Like, no, because like that's how Sydney people feel about Melbourne. It's like, oh, you guys are so like arty and farty and uppity and, you know, stuff like that. What do you reckon as Melbourne
that's
locals?
That's interesting. Definitely our coffee culture is very snobby, I would say. Like people would go around and be like, I want a magic, blah, blah, blah. Like,
God forbid we drink a cappuccino, bro.
I guess maybe it's like the Sydney versus Melbourne sort of culture as well. But I don't know. I quite like Sydney. I love the city and like the architecture as well when I'm walking through. But also the trains, like flippable seats. We need that in Melbourne right now.
I literally cannot believe that you guys don't have that. You guys are like 5 centuries behind us. We're like Japan compared to Japan.
Yeah, literally, like we're so behind. Like even on your light rails, like you can tap on with your bank card. You can't do that here.
What?
You need to buy like a Mikey card.
Oh,
which is,
my God. That is nuts to me. That's crazy.
I know.
You would think that, I feel like Melbourne is supposed to be like the modern cool, like, that's so crazy. Y'all are behind. And you know what? Finnish train system sucks, so y'all got it worse.
That's crazy.
Yeah, literally.
That is so nuts to me. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I've also heard, like, these are from some of my friends who come from, like, Adelaide, so completely flip around, least favorite place of all time. That's a lie. But they've always said how Melbourne is, like, we're New York light, like, we're the budget version of New York, aka busy, busy, nobody wants to talk to you. They've always yapped about how we're, like, very unfriendly because...
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, from their experience, they're like, oh, even if I'm walking down the street, I can smile at someone and nod on their head and they'll at least, like, nod back and smile back. But apparently-
well, that's because they're from Adelaide. There's nothing to do except for nod and smile. I'm just kidding.
Like, oh, I'm like, damn, these people don't wanna nod their head back at me, or if I say like good day to a random.
Well, woman. How do they feel about Sydney?
Oh, like they think
it's friendlier?
I guess like kind of, but allegedly Sydney doesn't have the best nightlife, so it's like docking points on that department.
Sydney has no light nightlife. Melbourne has a much better nightlife for like young people, I guess, but like I don't want to do that. Just like I'm not interested in it. So it makes no difference to me.
Oh my gosh. I love to keep going on about like the natural discourse, dissecting it deep. Make it like a special segment dissecting all the capital cities with Tiffy. But oh my god, one thing that we're actually very curious about, like you as an artist, is definitely your like songwriting journey. Because girl, every time I see this info, jaw drop all the time, because you literally started out writing songs, posting them on SoundCloud, as you mentioned earlier, like back when you were 13. Like how like maybe I'm putting it in my own head of like 13 years old, I was too busy like eating lunch alone at like a bathroom or something.
Oh,
but
no.
but like how was like Tiffy at 13 years old? Like how did she get there into making music on SoundCloud?
Yeah. Well, honestly, if I'm gonna be honest, it came from like completely a place of like loneliness. Like I struggled so hard to make friends at school. I was only diagnosed like as an adult, but I'm actually on the spectrum. So when I was a child, like my parents, I guess, didn't know that I'm the last of four kids. So I was a bit overlooked. I struggled a lot at school. I struggled with making friends. I felt like I had no one to talk to. I just didn't relate to any of my peers. Like I related more with my teachers and like with adults than I did with people my age. Like it was very difficult for me to feel like there was any sort of safe space for me. So I went on the internet a lot. Like that was where I made friends. Like I made friends playing video games. I made friends making music, like stuff like that. And I felt really accepted in that society. And it was like living a double life. Like I, you know, went to high school and I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. And then I went home and then I had this like whole community of people who listened to my music and stuff. And I felt so like, it felt so cool. I felt like Hannah Montana. Like, it was such a fun time. And I would wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock to go to school. And the first thing I would do is check my SoundCloud messages. I'm like, oh my God, has anyone messaged me? Like, who wants to collab? like at this point, I probably had like 100 followers, like not popular at all, but it was like, it was so exciting to me. I remember when my first song hit 1,000 plays, my friend baked me a cake. Like that's how excited we were. Like it was it was this feeling of like, I have never ever had this sort of attention and validation in my life where I was rewarded for being creative. Because, you know, in Asian culture, like it's, you get rewarded for being academically great. You get rewarded for, you know, doing stuff that's like conducive to making money. Like things that are creative and stuff like that, they expect you to be good, but they don't expect you to ever pursue it. You know what I mean? Like they'll put their kids in piano lessons and violin lessons, but if their kid wants to be a pianist or a violinist, like get out. You know what I mean? Like, so it's, I was like, I've never been rewarded for something like that. And also like my older siblings and stuff had lessons, but by the time it got to me, my parents were kind of just like, whatever. So I never actually was formally trained in any music or anything. And I feel like I kind of like had resentment about that because in my family, like I was the only one who was actually interested in music. Like I wanted to learn and I was the only one who didn't get put in lessons. And I was like, what the heck? Yeah, so, but I found my own way. Like, I figured it out my own way. Like, I learned it on the internet, watched YouTube, you know, that you can learn anything on the internet nowadays. Yeah, so it honestly just started out as like, I really wanted a place to like make friends, be part of something. I wanted to be part of a team so bad. Yeah, and I grew from there. It was a beautiful thing. I really miss that era.
Yeah. Oh, having like everything come back from like just starting out purely on building a community online and all that stuff. I feel like some people take it for granted a little bit, like how, like, yeah, again, like you said, it can be like such a safe space for people who in their outer world, like it's not reflecting sort of thing. I guess like in your answer earlier, I was just curious in some point in the middle there, obviously now 21, you're pursuing music like beyond on SoundCloud. You're releasing singles and tracks and EPs. Like somewhere in between that, how did you approach, I guess, like talking again with your parents and all that stuff, who've already, as you mentioned, kind of put you more on the back lines? How did you approach them kind of being like, oh, hey, now this is not like a little thing I do behind the scenes. I actually want to pursue this like fully.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, like, if you want to imagine my parents, just imagine your parents. Like, if you're Asian, I'm sure there's like a through line, you know? Like,
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very similar. My parents are like very loving and hardworking, but obviously they had some trepidation. My older siblings, I have three, they all did like, you know, computer science, mechatronics, psychology, Asian
Oh.
studies. They did, my brother has like a master's in chemical engineering. So it's like, when it came to me, I already had felt like the failure. Like I always felt like the drop
No.
kick of the family, you know, like I wasn't smart like them, you know, whatever. I did well in school, but like I didn't like excel the way that my siblings did. Like they excelled. And like I think I kind of forget sometimes that actually, no, I was a very smart and capable child. I just like was always constantly comparing myself to my older siblings. When year 12 came and I sat my HSC, which is like the entrance exams in Sydney. I was like, okay, I don't think I really want to do this. I was thinking like,
Yeah.
yes, I could go to school, but I kind of came to an agreement with my parents. Oh, they weren't happy. I tell you what, they were not happy with me. But I was like, look, I'll take 1 year off and I'll put my all into music. I'll really give it a proper try. And if at the end of the year nothing comes from it, then I will go to uni. Like, I promise you that. And I kind of think I knew in my heart that I wasn't gonna go back. But my parents were like, okay, you know, like I'll allow it. But yeah, it was hard to convince them. It was really hard. They, you know, like didn't have like the education that maybe they wanted to have. They didn't get to study the thing that they maybe wanted to study. And like they gave that liberty to me and I said, no, I don't want to do that to their face. You know what I mean? So I can completely understand from their perspective where it's like, are you kidding me? Like I did all of this and you're just gonna be like, nah, you know? But they've definitely come around. My parents are so supportive now. Like they see that it makes me happy. They come to all my shows. They're so sweet. Yeah. And you know what? Like Asian parents, they always come around. They always come around. Like you just gotta give it time. Like they, you know, they're kind of set in their ways sometimes, but they love you so much. Like, yeah.
Well, that
No.
is so real. Like, is that my experience as well?
We've never had like a single original
Yeah,
experience.
no.
I swear to God. When you're Asian, like everything that happens to you in your life is just like it's definitely happened to
Yeah,
somebody else.
exactly. It's like it's just part of
I know. And it's so
the
crazy. It's like, how did all of the parents end up the same?
experience, guys.
So
Same.
funny.
Especially when Asia, not a monolith, literally has so many different like ethnicities, same pipeline. They're like lawyer, doctor, boom, boom, it's happening. No, the internal guilt as well. Whoa, that was like, I definitely, it's still like something. I don't know if you feel this way, Tiffy. It's like something that kind of feels like it never truly goes away entirely. That like internal guilt, even though you internally know that you're doing like, I'm doing things in the world, but it's like that internal guilt still like creeping in behind of like, oh, my parents came over here and started a new life.
For sure. It's like, how can you repay somebody for giving up their whole life for you? It's like, at that point, I'm just like, I'm sorry. I can't do all of that, you know?
Yeah, like I'm just a girl.
I know I'm just a girl. Like, I don't have the
Girl.
facilities, babe. But I think that it's like important for us as their children to recognize, like, it's up to us to like break that generational, like, trauma. Like, we don't want to pass it down to anybody else. And it's like not our parents' fault. Like, I can understand. Like, girl, if I was fleeing, and I would be like stressed the hell out too. Like, I would be to my kids like, you better be a doctor too. You know what I mean? But now that we, like, you know, like, we grew up in like a Western place, like, we have a different ideology. We were taught different things. You know, we speak like English as mostly our first languages and stuff like that. Like, it's really important to not impart that to the next people who come after us. Like, I feel like we can forgive our parents and we can, you know, move on to something better. Like, it's not gonna be worth it to just like be mad at them forever for it. But definitely I feel guilty about it. I was so guilty about it when my parents are like, you're not coming home this week to eat dinner with your poor papa. I'm like, come on, dad, I'm busy. I'm like, okay, I'll come.
You're like, please.
The guilt trip.
I know, the guilt trip is crazy.
They love pulling these stunts, but it's okay, they love us. Do.
They're like, remember when you were 7 and I bought you blah blah. I'm like, that was a decade ago.
Or they're like, oh, this bad thing happened to you. Oh, it's because you never took those classes I gave you that one time you were 7.
For real. Oh my god. My mom got in like two car accidents in the same car. She was like, no, the car is cursed. We have to sell it.
It's always because you're on that damn phone of yours.
You're on that damn phone. That's why your ears are always ringing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. One year in, one year out sort of thing. Love you, parents.
I know. So funny, though. It's so comical.
Love you. Could do like a whole sitcom of Asian parents. Like, literally. No, oh, real. My gosh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess like alongside with that, we like talked to you a little bit of like you starting out and the process into becoming a singer. And now look at you, 21, making music, been doing it for like 8 years now. Like, I don't know, like, looking back, how do you feel like you as a person, like, your, like, process in writing music or producing, like, how has that changed over time, mm-hmm. sort of thing?
So at the start, I made music all alone in my room. I didn't tell anybody about it. All the producers that I worked with were people I've never met in real life. I still haven't met. And it was just like all through like Discord, Dropbox links, like stuff like that, like back and forth. Only in like the last year, I've actually started to work with people in real life. And like, I really love it. Like, you get that connection and it's really, really fun. And bouncing ideas off of other creatives, like in the same room, like, is just such a liberating experience. I also did like a writing camp that was like for like women and non-binary people, just like non-male people, because we don't often get to work with other women and like just people who are not male in our industry. So it was so fun. Like, it was probably the most fun I've ever had in such a long time. But just because we wrote music just for the love of writing music, like, sometimes you forget and like you have to make a product and I'm always thinking like, is anyone gonna like this or listen to this? But it's like, no, you can just make stuff for the love of making it. Like, it's okay. Like, it's okay if it's terrible. Like, who cares? Like, no one's gonna care, you know what I mean? And if they don't like this one, they'll listen to the next one, kind of thing. Yeah. And but in terms of writing, I've always just written by myself. I do like write with other people now in terms of like they're in the room with me, but I'm pretty like headstrong and like I drive the direction in terms of writing, because on top of being a musician, like, more than that, I think I'm more of like a writer than a musician. You know, I was like never formally trained. I've never had like vocal lessons. I'm not like the best singer in the world, but I think what is special about like my artist project is just like I'm very honest and I want to connect with people and I want to write about things that are like hard to talk about and like people don't want to talk about, because I'm very in touch with all of like the messed up things in life. Like, I love like all of the books that I read, all of the media that I consume. Like, I love seeing like the dark side of stuff just because I think it's a lot more interesting than the happy side of stuff. Yeah, I've always been like attracted to that, so yeah, I love to connect with people in that way. And like, people always like message me and like, oh, you helped me so much. I'm like, that can't be true. Like, I feel like I know they're telling me the truth, because why would they lie to me? But like, it just feels so crazy because it's like I'm just one person over here. You know what I mean? It's so crazy to think that you could like impact other people's lives like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't imagine. Oh, the imposter syndrome.
Oh my God. No, the imposter syndrome is so real. It's so real.
But I feel like that's such a cute like way transitioning off from like SoundCloud realm, and you mentioning earlier like getting little messages, searching them up, but then now you're on this space, you get like IG DMs and stuff. And people are like, I love your song. Yeah, help me through these times. Just your evolution. I think you're going to like kill it more and more as like time goes on. I think you got it in the bag. Oh my gosh. I guess alongside with talking about songs, I know this is usually a question that artists, it's like the bane of their existence because it's like choosing between your favorite children. But you've made so much incredible music throughout the years. Do you still have a song, though, that is like it is your baby, like it's your absolute favorite, maybe because the process of it was really fun or it represents what you feel like is like a leap in your like song making abilities and all that stuff?
Well, I'll just preface that I hate the old music. Like I totally respect her. I respect her, but listening to me sing in that indie girl voice, I cannot stand it. It is but in terms of like my old music, I would say like my little baby is probably like Heartbreaker Club. Just because it's so silly. I know it's stupid. It's so dumb. I wrote it when I was like 17 or something. I wasn't breaking anyone's hearts. Are you joking me? I didn't even go out on a date with anybody before. Like I was just completely delusional in my mind. But it's just such a fun song. I love playing it live. And I think that even in like my old discography, even though like I don't like all of the songs, I still really, really love that one for what it is. Yeah, and I think it's good to like honor your past self. That's what she want. What that's what she wanted back then. Maybe not now, but back then, you know, I'll allow it. Yeah,
it's like funny you mentioned that you're like, ooh, the older songs. You're like, I do not want to touch her. But like our executive producer Tracy, I mean, she wishes she was here, but she's like a massive fan of your music, and she wanted to give an little shout out to her favorite song of yours, which is California.
Whoa, that's a nice one. Good pick, Tracy.
Yeah. Okay, this one's not on your hater list.
No. I like this one. This one's okay. This one's okay.
Whereas I think Lee and myself, we're both really, really into like your, I feel like what a song that represents now your jump in everything that you mentioned, which is Chemtrails. I know she's new, but I think it's like, it's so good.
It's a new era.
She's entering her new era.
Yes. I do love that song a lot. I felt so cool writing it. I was like, oh, just like an indie girl. I'm so cool. I'm so different.
No, you sound so cool as well. Like the straight like opening of you singing it. I'm just like, whoa, like 0.1 seconds of listening to it. This is the it song. Yeah, literally.
The cap of this little like, I feel like we've been through on like a journey. Tiffy from point A at 13 years old to Tiffy now. You literally recently performed at Vivid Sydney, and despite us being Melburnians, yes, we do know what Vivid Sydney is, and like a massive stage you opened for Mallrat and all that stuff. And it's like, how does that feel like performing in such huge stages like that, going from like thinking of little Tiffy on SoundCloud to like now performing on big stages? How does that feel like?
It's pretty crazy, but you know, like humble beginnings, but also my life is still very humble now. You know, I'll tell you the truth. Like I work two retail jobs. So like I do music, yes, but like I also just work like a regular person. And like I go see my parents and they're just such regular people. And I just go home and I play video games. And like, it just, my life isn't like, it's pretty crazy. Like I'll do stuff and then the next day I'll clock into work and just feel like, oh, now nobody knows who I am. And it's like a nice feeling to me. Like I like feeling normal. And not to say like I'm getting like mobbed or anything, but it's just like it's nice to separate your work and your like regular life, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like, even though people know now, it still feels kind of like my little secret. Like I still feel like, you know, when I meet people in real life, like they don't know that about me because I'm not like, you know, I'm not like a huge artist or anything like that. So I still really like cherish this time as well, because I know I'm gonna look back, like if at one point in my life that I do make it that, you know, I can live like off my music like fully, I know I will look back on this time and be like, oh yeah, I remember like I worked in retail, I worked in hospital, I worked in admin, like I worked hard to like get here, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I worked just like everybody else, like it wasn't given to me easily. And I think that's like my immigrant parent like talking right now, because it's like you I feel like, you know, I did really work hard for it. I sacrificed a lot of stuff for it, to do music. I had to like give up a lot of like relationships and like a lot of my time and effort to do it because I love it. And so I think that when I have those moments where I play really big shows, it's so crazy to me still. that people would come out and see me. And it's like, you know, maybe it's not like, obviously not everyone that is there to see me, but even just like 7 people showing up to see me is crazy. Like, I cannot believe that 7 people in their life, they were like, I'm gonna put on clothes and shower and do my makeup and bring a little present to go see this person. It's just nuts to me. Like, it just feels so crazy. I hope that if one day, like, I can play for like a whole room of people who are there just to see me, like, I can remember that, you know, I worked really hard for that, and like, I can be appreciative of it. If I ever get a big head or a big ego, like, please kick me in the face. No. Like, I would literally, if I ever am not like humble and like nice to people, like, I would know that I have failed.
Yeah, we clip this part exactly, yes, and then yes, DM you, like,
to me and be like,
remember this?
You're doing too much.
No, remember who you were. This isn't you, girl. No,
this isn't you. Look at me. This isn't you,
Jason. Oh my god, no, like, oh, even you speaking about their fans, because I remember I saw on your like social media and all this stuff, you literally did have fans like rock up after your performance at Vivid Sydney. Oh my god, like, I cannot imagine how that would have felt. Like, it's so cute.
I know, they even like wrote me little letters and I scrapbooked them. Someone drew me a picture. It's just crazy, because I know if I went back in time and told the little version of me that that was happening, like, she would literally throw up and die. Like, she would not be able to handle it, because she would just be so excited. And like, I just hope I never, ever, ever take that for granted, because it's like such an amazing feeling. I can't believe people care about me like that. Like, that is just so incredible. And yeah, I'm so grateful.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's really precious. Oh, I guess, damn. Oh, one of the questions that we have, and I'm going to throw it to Lee because I don't have knowledge on this game. Whoops, call me a fake gamer. But you mentioned a few times throughout that you're like, some games here and there. So this is where we're really going to grill you on that aspect here.
I'll okay, let Lee, you're a gamer girl?
Yo, again, that's me. You see my gamer chair? Oh my god.
I see your gamer chair. That lumbar support.
Bro, it sucks ass, but anyway. So our EP, Tracy, once again, she actually tuned into your live stream yesterday, and we found out that you play Stardew Valley, and it has been consuming your life right now.
Oh,
you're right.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just recently started playing it. Normally I play like FPS games where I like shoot people.
Oh, same.
But for some reason, Stardew Valley is equally as like stressful.
It is.
I'm like, I need to get the fish, yes, or else the strawberry seeds. I can't, don't have, yes, enough money. And then when the day is over, we're gonna have to start, mm-hmm, over again, because now I have no money. It's so stressful. It's more stressful than like the violent games.
Yeah, literally. You have to calculate like this when the season, oh, ends, god, and when you can plot stuff, and you have to get back to bed by like 2 a.m.
Yeah. 2 o'clock, or else you pass out and then mm-hmm, you'll get robbed. Oh my god. Like, the hospital bills, mm-hmm, you. Oh god. It's just a whole hullabaloo. You know what I mean? What other games do you play, Lee?
Lee. This is where she starts sweating.
I have played in the past Valorant, not that good at that. And then Overwatch, Genshin Impact. Mm. Oh my god.
You spend money on that game? I know you do.
Don't even talk to me about that.
Don't worry. I've spent like so much money on Candy Crush.
Candy Crush.
I'm literally an Asian auntie.
I'm literally an Asian auntie.
Like, yes, I play like Valorant. I play Apex Legends. I play like other like video games, like, you know, but Candy Crush, I've spent so much money. I've spent so much money on Candy Crush. I'm like, no, I can't lose my streak. Or else.
I love how you gave that little bit of like, guys, no, trust me, I'm a real gamer. I play all these other ones.
No, I'm a real gamer, guys. No, I'm kidding. But like, yeah, like I really do be playing those inconsequential ass games. Like, spent hours on Tetris. It's just, I got a lot of time on my hands, apparently.
That's a good way to de-stress.
De-stress, exactly.
It really is.
Oh.
So do you have anyone that you're romancing in Stardew Valley right now? The most important question.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I actually play Stardew Valley with another person, like with a co-op, like with my friend.
Oh, okay.
So I have not been romancing anyone, but have you ever played the original Harvest Moon games?
No, I haven't.
Okay, but... so Stardew Valley, like the whole genre of like farming game, farming X dating game came from like Harvest Moon. Mm. And I played that on like my home computer where everybody had to rotate for an hour because there's four of us.
Oh,
and like no. Everyone's playing MapleStory like back in the day, you know, like real back in the day. And I used to romance people in that game all the time. And at the time, like I was a child, like I wasn't thinking about anything. I would always romance the girls. And then when I came to like puberty, I was like, that's weird. That's weird. Is that normal? Do y'all romance the girls too?
Or is me?
Let's unpack normal? That.
Or is that just me? Yeah. I should have known. Like half of my community, like who listens to my music, are queer. I'm like, I should have figured it out earlier, but I didn't for some reason.
I should have connected.
No, that's me at Haley in Stardew Valley.
Oh,
she's
my
like
gosh.
Such a like, oh, you're like, your clothes are disgusting, but then she like warms up to you as you
romance.
Yeah,
she's like a tsundere.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's literally it. A tsundere type. Oh, yeah. God.
Like, I don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, we now know Lee's type.
If anyone's hey.
Hey, guys.
I'm hey, guys.
Girl, please.
It's a dating radio show.
Girl,
oh,
please.
My God. But it's been really amazing chatting with you, Tiffy, and just getting to know more about your journey. And before we wrap up the interview, we have one last question. Is there anything in the works for the rest of 2024?
Ooh. Lots of things in the works. Lots of things. In July, I have two shows at the Oxford Art Factory. I'm opening for Alice Ivy, who's the person who produced Chemtrails with me.
Cute.
And I'm also opening for an Asian artist called Milky Day. Do you guys know Milky Day? You should look him up. I think he is from Melbourne. He's from somewhere not from Sydney, but he's an Asian artist.
Ooh.
And he's really good.
Okay, say less.
Yeah, I'm opening for him too. Yeah, I think you guys would really like him, actually. And also, might be a little something coming in August. Might be a little something. Maybe perhaps a project. I don't know. Keep your eyes peeled. Watch the space.
But thank you for chatting with us.
Of course. It was so nice, guys.
Yeah, no, it was so chill. But before you go, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me everywhere on Spotify, Instagram, whatever. Just search up TIFFI. Tiffy, and that's me. You'll find me. Look for a little Asian girl. That's me.
Listen to Cold Medicine.
Yes, listen to my new song, Cold Medicine. It's so good. You're going to love it. If you don't love it, then your dad will love it.
Someone in your circle. Just pass it along.
And listener, if you're hearing this live on radio, we'll be uploading this as a podcast as well. But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in to Asian Pop Nation on Sin.